Madison Carter, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on WBFO. Madison is a reporter and anchor at Channel 7, and many Buffalo residents, including myself, were glued to your Twitter feed on Saturday night. You were reporting all night from Niagara Square and around the city. Will you tell us what you witnessed? What was that reporting experience like for you?
It was a unique experience. I don't know if you remember 3 years ago in Charlottesville, Virginia, there were those Nazi KKK rallies. That was my first job. So I remember leading up to that rally and then the aftermath of that rally. And I got a little nervous because online I saw some similar rhetoric. And so I really came to my bosses and I said, hey, I think we need to put a little bit of preparation into tomorrow. This was Friday. And once we got there, we arrived an hour before the rally had started. People were already gathering in the Niagara Square. And then I'll just give you kind of the Spark Notes version of it. Things got started. People were really demonstrating. There was a lot of chanting. And then all of a sudden, we heard some sirens off into the distance. And the people who, I can't call them the organizers, because the true organizers of the event were nowhere to be found. These two young women who actually organized the event itself. They said, crowd, disperse. And people were like, to where? And so then they just start dispersing. And all of a sudden, a large crowd of people starts walking up Delaware Avenue, come back around. They make a loop. We end up back in Niagara Square after walking through the city, essentially. And then things were back to chanting. And then some people got tired of that and decided to go over to where law enforcement was. And mind you, Kyle, there was no law enforcement presence in that square. They were only there to block off the perimeter and they wanted to allow people to demonstrate. So once people decided they wanted to go confront law enforcement and speak to them directly, that's where things began to take a turn.
Right. And there's been a lot of coverage breaking down of everything that happened on Saturday. Of course, we saw a large peaceful protest for several hours before we know that things took a turn. There was some property damage. That's not really what I want to focus on with you today, even though you were providing such great coverage and updates. How did you keep, as a reporter, how did you keep your composure? And I did want to ask you about your experience in Charlottesville. I'm sure this reminded you of that.
You know, I spent a lot of time watching other reporters as these demonstrations popped up around the country. I spent a lot of time researching what are the best ways to do this. And I think that preparation allowed me to remain calm. I had seen it before. I knew what might happen. And I also was keeping in close contact with some of my law enforcement sources. And I have to tell you, I cannot feed into that narrative of law enforcement versus media in Buffalo. We've seen it in other cities, but here, when I tell you that these people were eyes on me and the mission. You know, there was one person in particular, his name was Kevin with the Homeland Security Special Forces here. And he was just like, you know, he was letting me know what might happen. And he said, here's where you can go to be safe. When it got unsafe, I remember running across Niagara Square as the rubber bullets were flying. And he just like yanked me up over this wall, threw a mask on me and said, you know, stand here now. So a lot of preparation went into that. And I think that's what allowed our team to remain calm and clear-headed as things began to unfold.
Right. We've seen, of course, lots of troubling instances of police brutality and clashes with journalists, even with credentials displayed. So that's obviously really troubling, but we are all very grateful that's not how things played out Saturday in Buffalo. But I do want to talk about this tweet you had at the end of the night after hours of coverage. You tweeted, I was the only Black television reporter covering the demonstration today in Buffalo. The only one. It goes on, but tell me, you know, how are you dealing? This is a time when this reminds me of so many opinion pieces we're seeing saying Black journalists are exhausted. We're in the middle of a pandemic that's disproportionately, you know, affecting Black communities. I wonder how you're holding up right now.
I'm exhausted, Kyle. I am so, so tired. And you're right. After a very long day, that was the one thing. And I posted it again on some of my other pages the next day. And I was like, of everything that happened yesterday, this is the one thing I cannot shake. That I was the only Black reporter covering this rally that had to do with racial injustice. And I don't take aim at any of the other crews that were out there. There were some brave reporters, some of Buffalo's finest. I will say that. They do excellent work. But what was missing was context and understanding. And I can't ignore that. I am the president of the Buffalo Association of Black Journalists. And as much as that was a tweet to management to say, where were your people of color? I'm making sure you have them now. So I've been keeping tabs on making sure that the workforce Black people are in newsrooms, radio stations now. Where were they? And it was also a tweet to my colleagues. Where were you? We're tired. And some of them said to me, we are tired. We are exhausted. We can't look at these images and we can't continue to read these articles that are missing the context, missing the mark. I'm glad you said you don't want to talk about the looting because it's what the governor said today. It was a distraction from the message and why people were there. So that was the biggest thought I had coming out of it. How can we as a community, as a network of media organizations, cover a racial event without people who understand what's going on there?
Right. I saw a piece today. It was actually published a few years ago, I think, but it's resurfacing now, and it's by a Black journalist. She's one of the founders now of 19th, the new nonprofit organization focused on women's issues in politics. But she was like, I wrote this piece years ago. It's just as relevant now. And it's a plea to call it like white colleagues saying, race is your beat too. So we can't rely on our Black colleagues to be the only ones to, you know, report on protests like this. But I think what you said about context is so important and newsroom diversity as well. What's your message maybe to Buffalo media or also Buffalo residents? What would you like to see in terms of changes moving forward, or what are your personal hopes for the city of Buffalo?
Since I became president of the BABJ, I've pushed for newsrooms to have more people that look like me on air, not just as reporters, but as anchors. Because as anchors, you are the face of the station and people want to hear news from people that they feel like understand. And so I've been proud to see the work that they've done. I will not dismiss that. I am clapping and I am applauding the work they've done to increase diversity in newsrooms. But now I think what we need to do is step into an educational sphere. My bosses came to me and they said, we're a little nervous of saying the wrong thing, of approaching people who work for us and asking for help because they're worried about being accused of asking because they're Black. And I'm like, well, the answer is yes. If somebody says, are you asking me what to do about this racial rally because I'm Black? Your answer is yes. It's because you are Black and I am white and I need help understanding how to best cover this event because I don't get it. So it's about coming together in a room, having those conversations and educating people who are not Black on how to serve that community. That's what needs to happen next.
Thank you so much, Madison, for your time today. I think we'll have to leave it there.
Absolutely. Thanks for the conversation.